My guest at this time is David Burton. He is a senior fellow in economic policy at the Heritage Foundation in Washington. He joins me now to talk about yet another concern about what's contained inside the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. In addition to the problems with healthcare.gov and millions of people not being able to keep the insurance that they wish they could keep, there is now the issue of the marriage penalty, which means that folks can actually save a lot of money by not getting married. And in some cases, folks are even talking about getting divorced because of the money they could save by living together while not still legally married. And David, thanks so much for being with us.
I'm glad to be with you.
This is all about the amount of subsidies you are entitled to based on your marital status, correct?
Right. Everybody's entitled to a subsidy. Subsidies are phased out, but they're available to people up to 400% of the federal poverty level. And the marriage penalty is really because of the way that poverty levels are calculated. If you have a one-person household, the poverty level is about $11,500. If you have a two-person household, the poverty level is $15,500. And for those who don't want to do the math, that means that it's not twice as high. Twice as high would be nearly $23,000. So the long and the short of it is that two individuals who get married don't get as much of a subsidy. And the cutoff points now under Obamacare would be $91,000 for two single people and $62,000 for a married couple. So it's about $30,000 less income where you can get the subsidy.
And so there's nearly a $30,000 difference in whether you're eligible for a subsidy, depending on whether a couple is married. When you extend that over, you know, the working career of a couple that might meet in their 20s or early 30s, you're looking at 30 or 40 years of financial incentives going in a questionable direction. So just how much of a financial toll could this penalty take?
The savings are a percentage of the income, and it depends on how much. They're actually, if you have an income over $90,000, you get no subsidy. If you have an income of $25,000, you get the full subsidy. So it's just very complex sliding scale calculated under the Internal Revenue Code. And one of the things that I don't think people have focused on is the subsidies are administered by the insurance companies in cooperation with the IRS and show up as a lower premium in the exchanges. But then every individual in the country is going to have to do the math on their tax return due in April of 2015 and reconcile how much they got from the insurance company with how much they should have gotten. It would be extremely complex mathematics on your tax return starting in 2015, and I think and if you come up short, you're going to owe a lot of money. In other words, if they gave you too much subsidy.
So, David, do you suspect that what we're hearing about folks either delaying marriage and that sort of thing is it overblown over the long term, or is this something that really is going to be a financial hindrance for people, assuming nothing changes?
Well, it very well may give people pause that are considering marriage. I'm not sure how many people end up getting divorced because of it, but it's possible. But I think there are a lot of things discouraging people from getting married these days, and this will be just one more, and it'll be a financially significant thing. It could amount to several thousand dollars a year of lost subsidies.
Now, you mentioned in calculating the poverty line that for individuals and couples, it's not, you know, proportionally how most people would expect it to be. So is this something that Congress just overlooked and threw in the term four times the poverty line, or is this something that they consciously expected to be the reality?
If you actually read the PPACA, as it's called, the law, which I have the misfortune of having done, it's very badly written. It was rushed through. I think it was probably a mistake. But it's just one more of many mistakes where this law wasn't well thought out.
And is this something you think that they're open to changing, or is this just such a small drop in the overall bucket of problems that's not even going to get addressed?
That's a little bit difficult to judge. Part of this is that supporters of Obamacare are reluctant to change anything unless a tremendous amount of political pressure develops. And it's possible that will happen, but I think at this point, most of the defenders of Obamacare are trying to resist changes unless there are, you know, just hundreds of people or thousands of people complaining to them. So it's not clear. Now, if we get to a point later on where there's a more reasoned approach to healthcare and it's not all so blatantly political, then I would hope that this could get resolved.
David, we'll leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
David Burton is a senior fellow in economic policy at the Heritage Foundation. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.